Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, Katie Weaver, and Alice Bryant. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Many women around the world use skin-lightening beauty products in an effort to improve their looks. The World Health Organization, or WHO, reports that the country with the highest percentage of women using such products is Nigeria. In its 2011 report, the WHO estimated that about 77% of Nigerian women normally used skin-lightening products. That represented about 76 million people. Nigeria's beauty care industry is already worth several billion dollars. It has been expanding at a rate of 8 to 10% each year. WHO officials say the biggest danger from skin lighteners is the chemical mercury, which is commonly used in such products. Mercury is often used because it can slow the formation of melanin, a substance that gives skin its color. The WHO warns that using skin-lightening products over time increases mercury levels in the body. It says the most serious result of mercury buildup can be kidney damage. Other possible conditions include stretch marks, weakened skin, or other skin problems. Mercury can also reduce the skin's ability to resist infections. Even with the continued popularity of skin-lightening products, some Nigerian women are choosing to reject them. They say they believe their naturally dark skin is beautiful and does not need to be lightened. That opinion is not shared by 25-year-old Goodness Ben, a Nigerian model and actress. She says lightening her skin could increase her chances of getting more work in movies. Ben recently spoke to a VOA reporter during a visit to a market in Abuja.
Yes, this is Nigeria. And a fair skin is business. In movie industry, most times, directors want you to, like, glow.
Ben added that having lighter skin makes her feel better about herself and is more appealing to others. Yes, for me to be better, for me to be fair, for me to be more beautiful, she said. Some darker-skinned Nigerians have pushed back against the idea that lighter is better. They have launched what they are calling the melanin movement. Tina Ohanu says she has no need to lighten her skin to improve her self-image.
My confidence really doesn't come from my skin. It comes from within.
She added that she still gets a lot of attention from men without lightening her skin. Some African nations have taken action to restrict such beauty aids. Ghana, Ivory Coast, and Rwanda have banned all skin-lightening products, while Nigeria joined South Africa in barring some that contain the most harmful chemicals. I'm Brian Lynn.
The American military wants to expand its use of artificial intelligence, or AI, for war. But it says the technology will be deployed in respect to the nation's values. The United States Defense Department released its first AI strategy this week. The strategy calls for increasing the use of AI systems throughout the military, from decision-making to predicting problems in planes or ships. It urges the military to provide AI training to change its culture, skills, and approaches. And it supports investment and partnership with education and industry in AI research. The military report calls for the U.S. to move quickly before other countries narrow America's technological lead. It says other nations, particularly China and Russia, are making significant investments in AI for military purposes. It says some of those applications raise questions connected to international norms and human rights. The report makes little mention of autonomous weapons, but it lists an existing 2012 military guidance that requires humans to be in control over the use of force. The U.S., Russia, Israel, and South Korea are among the countries that have blocked a United Nations effort to ban autonomous weapons, also known as killer robots. Such systems could one day carry out war without human intervention. The U.S. has argued that it is too early to try to restrict them. The strategy says the U.S. military will lead in honoring international and national law, supporting American values, and strengthening U.S. partnerships with other nations. I'm Katie Weaver.
Wow, I sure do love cats. I suppose I didn't know how much until my social media service informed me I had liked 8 pictures of cats this week. Maybe I should get a cat or stay off of social media. If you listened closely, you may have noticed that I did not use an article in my first 2 sentences about cats, but I did in my 3rd. There, I used the article A. On our program today, I will tell you why and share some simple rules for when not to use articles. As you may know, English articles refer to the words a, an, and the. Even some English learners with years of training have trouble with these little words, and for good reason. The rules differ from language to language, making it tricky to know when to use them. But don't worry, the good news is that some kinds of nouns do not require articles in speech or writing. This idea is often called the zero article. the term zero article itself is not very important. It is just a way of saying no article is used. There are many kinds of nouns that are not preceded by articles in English. Other nouns get no article only in some kinds of statements, such as generalizations. To begin, we do not use articles before plural nouns and non-count nouns when making generalizations. A generalization is a broad statement or an idea that can be applied to a whole group of people or things. As you may know, a plural noun is the form of a word that relates to more than one person or thing, like apples, dogs, telephones, and children. Let's listen to an example of a generalization with plural nouns.
Dogs are much more playful than cats.
This is a very broad statement applied to two groups of animals, so we do not use articles. We do, however, use articles with plural nouns in specific statements. Here is an example for comparison.
The dogs at the doggy park are very playful.
The speaker is talking of specific dogs, the ones at the doggy park. So the article the is used before the plural noun dogs. Now let's move on to non-count nouns. You may remember from an earlier program that a non-count noun is a noun that we usually do not count. So it does not appear in plural form. Non-count nouns include materials, like gold, substances, like water and fire, abstract things like music and justice, and some other things. Generalizations with non-count nouns are not preceded by articles. Let's hear an example.
I like listening to music while I exercise.
The person is not speaking of specific music. They are saying they enjoy the general act of listening to music as they exercise. For comparison, here's a specific statement.
The music at the show last night was too loud.
The person is speaking of specific music. The music at the show last night. So the article the appears before the non-count noun music. The zero article also applies to other kinds of nouns. For instance, we normally do not put an article in front of a proper noun, a word or group of words that name a specific person, place, or thing. Proper nouns are easy to identify because they begin with capital letters, like the month of August, 7th Street, Mexico City, Alice, English, and Voice of America. Have a listen.
Alice teaches English at Voice of America.
Note that none of the proper nouns has an article before it. Articles, however, must remain in place if they are part of the full name of something, like the newspaper, the New York Times, musical group, A Tribe Called Quest, and country, the Netherlands. Here's an example.
My favorite musical group in high school was A Tribe Called Quest.
Now on to transport phrases. No article is used with some phrases that relate to transportation, such as by car, by train, by bus, by air, and on foot. Take this example.
The group traveled from Tangier to Casablanca by train.
In addition, we do not use articles with some time words and phrases, such as at night, at midnight, tomorrow, today, and yesterday. Articles also are not used for general time phrases beginning with the word last, such as last night, last week, and last year, as in this example.
Last week, I took a painting class for the first time.
Next, no article is used for some phrases that relate to well-known institutions or places, such as at home, at work, at school, in class, in college, and in jail. Take this example.
Sorry, I can't talk right now. I'm at work. I'll call you later.
However, in American English, there are a few exceptions, such as at the hospital. And lastly, we do not use articles in relation to the general role of most common places, as with the word class in this sentence.
When does class begin in DC public schools?
And now back to my cat obsession. I'll tell you later if I decide to get a cat or just stop liking so many pictures online. I'm Alice Bryant.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. In 1863, Union forces defeated Confederate forces in the bloodiest battle of the American Civil War, the Battle of Gettysburg. Soon after that, the Union won another important victory, seizing Vicksburg, Mississippi. Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe continue our story of the Civil War with the Battle of Vicksburg.
In November 1863, President Lincoln traveled to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. He spoke at the opening of a military cemetery. He felt very tired by the time he got back to Washington. Doctors thought he had a cold. Later, they said he had a weak form of smallpox. The president remained in bed. Few visitors could see him. There was a danger the smallpox could spread. Lincoln got better after a few weeks. He began working on his yearly message to Congress. After 2.5 years of war, he had good news to report. Union armies had gained 2 important victories at about the same time.
One was the Battle of Gettysburg. Union forces, led by General George Meade, had defeated Confederate forces, led by General Robert E. Lee. They pushed Lee back into Virginia. It was the last Confederate invasion of the North. The day after the Battle of Gettysburg, Union forces defeated Confederate forces at Vicksburg, Mississippi. This victory gave them control of the Mississippi River, and it split the states of the Confederacy.
Union General Ulysses Grant had been trying to seize Vicksburg for several months. It was not easy. Vicksburg lay on the east side of the Mississippi River. It was built high above the water on a rocky cliff. As the river flowed past Vicksburg, it turned in sharply at the base of the cliff and then continued on to the Gulf of Mexico. The Confederates had placed cannon all along the sharp turn in the river. Enemy boats sailing past made easy targets.
General Grant began the campaign for Vicksburg in late 1862. His army was west of the Mississippi River. He needed to get to the other side to attack the city. First, Grant planned to cross the river into northern Mississippi State. Then he would march south to Vicksburg. He crossed the river, but Confederate forces destroyed his transportation and supply lines. He withdrew. Early in 1863, he tried again.
This time, he planned to sail his men past Vicksburg. They would cross the river a little downstream, turn, and attack. Grant moved 40,000 men to a point 10 kilometers from Vicksburg. He told the men to put down their guns and take up digging tools. They would build a canal to carry them past the turn in the river, past the Confederate cannon.
For weeks, the Union soldiers worked on the canal. They dug through mud and wet clay. Many died of disease. After more than a month of digging, engineers decided that the canal would not work. Grant ordered the men to build another canal, then another. They did not work either. By this time, the Union soldiers had become experts at digging canals. One of them said, "As soon as the canals at Vicksburg are finished, we are going to cut a canal across the upper part of Florida. We will cut that state off from the Confederacy and give it to the alligators."
Finally, in April 1863, Grant gave up all ideas of getting past Vicksburg without a fight. He decided to march most of his men down the west side of the river to a steamboat landing 30 kilometers below Vicksburg. He would send his Navy boats past the city at night and hope for the best. It took 3 weeks for Grant's men to reach the steamboat landing. The roads were very rough. In many places, they were covered with water. Engineers had to cut trees and cover the muddy roads with logs so wagons would not sink. They had to build bridges over the many streams.
On the night of April 16th, the Union Navy made its run past Vicksburg. 8 gunboats and 3 empty troop boats floated down the dark river. Their engines were silent. The Confederates, however, had built fires along the river. They saw the Union boats and began to shoot. They hit most of the boats, but destroyed only one. The damaged boats reached safety below the city. On the last day of April, the Union troop boats began carrying soldiers to the east side of the river. About 23,000 men crossed. Right away, they faced a force of 8,000 Confederate soldiers. they drove the Confederates back.
Grant then ordered the rest of his army to cross to the east side of the river. Some of his officers protested. They said it would be impossible to get supplies to a large army east of the river. Grant was not worried about supplies. He said the men should bring only coffee, hard bread, and salt. Anything else could be taken from the farmers of Mississippi. Their homes, he said, were full of food.
Grant decided not to throw his men against the strong defenses around Vicksburg immediately. Instead, he marched them east toward Jackson, the state capital. Jackson was the supply base for the Confederate Army defending Vicksburg. Grant wanted to cut the supply lines between the two cities. He also wanted to prevent the soldiers in Jackson from joining the soldiers in Vicksburg. Grant captured Jackson easily. He left some troops to destroy enemy supplies. He took the remaining troops and turned back toward Vicksburg.
Grant attacked Vicksburg several times. Each time, his troops were thrown back. The city's defenses were too strong. Grant then decided to surround the city and wait until its food was gone. That, he thought, would make the Confederates surrender. Grant closed in with men and artillery. As one soldier wrote, "The circle of Union forces around the city was so tight that a cat could not have crept out without being discovered. Nothing could get out, nothing could get in." Weeks passed. The Union army shelled the city. The Confederate army answered from time to time. Food supplies dropped. There was little to eat except cornbread and the meat of mules. Some people caught rats and ate them.
Finally, the Confederate commander, General John Pemberton, decided the situation was hopeless. He sent word to Grant that he was ready to discuss surrender. The two commanders met under a white flag of truce. Grant demanded unconditional surrender. Pemberton rejected the demand. Pemberton's men were to be prisoners. That was a fact. But Pemberton wanted them released immediately on parole. He told Grant that his men would promise to stay out of the war if permitted to return to their homes. If not, he said, they would continue to fight.
Grant agreed to let the Confederate soldiers go home. He and Pemberton signed the surrender agreement on July 4th. The siege of Vicksburg had lasted 47 days. Never had a Union army won such a victory. Grant had taken 30,000 Confederate soldiers out of the war. He had captured 60,000 guns and 170 cannon. These were serious losses for the Confederacy. It already was low on manpower and weapons, but an even greater loss was the control of the Mississippi River. With Vicksburg in Union hands, the North could control the whole length of the river, and the Confederacy was split badly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.